Hallelujah. Got your Bible, Matthew 7 and 24. I'm going to cut right through all the preliminaries. I ain't preached in 5 weeks, so we may, the mufflers may work, may not. Amen. May blow some smoke for a while. Hallelujah. Thank God. Appreciate this church. This is the best church. Amen. I've been to many churches. I've seen other churches. Amen. Just go ahead and leave the doors open for, amen, for the foyer followers of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Everybody in here, praise God. Amen. We got the best. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 7 and 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Who's talking? Everybody say Jesus. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. I'll tell you who's smart, the one that does what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Which built his house, everybody say, upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it, everybody say, it didn't fall. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. I'll tell you who's dumb in our world. The backsliders are dumb. The people that hear the word, well, I didn't mean to say it like that. I tell you who's dumb. The people who hear the word of God and they put up barriers and say, I don't think it takes all that. Well, can I preach a little while? This is why the Bible said, because they built their house upon the sand. But the same thing happened. The rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house. It beat upon the other house too. But on this one, the Bible said, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It was a big crash. It was a great disaster. It was a big deal. Amen. And I want to preach for just a little while. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach the rest of the day. Maybe tonight too. Let me just tell the truth. I want to preach about how giants fall. Hallelujah. Can you set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord? Come on, I need the Holy Ghost to help us in this place. Come on, lift up your voice, prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, pray until the Holy Ghost prays through you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now everybody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to preach how giants fall. Praise God. Well, about a month ago, I went out to California for a wedding. And so after the wedding, matter of fact, pray for Sister Betty. She still ain't back from the wedding. Amen. If she's watching, it's time to come home. Praise God. But I went out to the wedding, and after we were done, I rented a convertible Mustang, turned my hat on backwards, got my aviator shades, and started cruising California. At 50 years old, it's called a little bit past midlife crisis. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the things I always wanted to do was see the giant redwoods that are in California, so we went out to a place called Yosemite. You may have heard of it before, and walked through this thing that was called the Mariposa Grove, which has some of the largest redwoods in the forest. And so in this little grove, I say little grove, it's a big grove. You got that other picture? Is the 26th largest tree in the whole world. And it's called the Grizzly Giant. Of course, pictures don't do anything. You can't even imagine until you've actually stood there beside it. But this tree that is on the picture behind me is a giant. Amen. It's 209 feet tall. It has a 96-foot circumference. It has a 30-foot diameter. If you would like a perspective, this sanctuary is 40 foot wide. So you can take 10 foot off of it, and that's how. Pretty good sized tree if you grew up in Arkansas. Never seen anything quite like that. They say it's about 2 million pounds. Amen. Its largest branch that you can see is about 95 feet off of the ground, and just that branch has a diameter of 6 feet. If you had an oak tree in Arkansas that was 6 foot in diameter, you got a big tree. And that's just a branch. It has bark that is 2 foot thick. Amen. I could preach a little while about getting some thick skin. Hallelujah. If you want to make it, praise God. And so we walked through this grove, which had a lot of big redwood trees. But as I walked through it, it was so interesting to me that I seen that there seemed like there were many trees, many giant trees that had already fallen down. And so they would build trails. They wouldn't move them. They would build the trails and the loops around these big old fallen trees so you could go see the big trees that were still standing. And so when you make the loop, you get to see big, beautiful trees. And then you also get to see trees that did not make it. And so most everyone was fascinated by the big, beautiful trees, and they're looking and taking pictures, and the tourists, and I looked too, and it's pretty wild, pretty amazing. But what was kind of tripping me out was how them big old trees, there were so many of them that did not make it, that they were laying down. And so on the way down the hill, we find a plaque. My wife found a plaque. She said, "We need to read this. I seen it on the way up." And so I stop and I take a picture of this plaque, and it's describing it, and it says, the header on the plaque said, "How Giants Fall." Now, nobody else was interested in the plaque except the preacher and his wife. Amen. Amen. But I'm interested to grow, and I'm interested in being all that God wants me to be, but I'm also interested in making sure I know how to not fall. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important to grow, and I love personal growth and all the things people teach you. This is how you can become a better person, and this is how you can become what God wants you to be, and I love all that and kumbaya and blah, blah, blah. But I want to hear how somebody else fell to make sure I don't fall in the same trap that they fell in. Come on, I need somebody to help me right now. Hallelujah. So I took a picture of this plaque, and I typed it out into my notes, and I want to read it to you what the plaque said. It said, "Giant sequoias can live and grow for thousands of years. They can survive lightning strikes, fires, droughts, and winter snows. They have natural defenses against insects and fungus, but they are not invincible." Everybody say, they are not invincible. It said severe, repeated fires and soil erosion can weaken the sequoia's foundations, making them vulnerable to topping under the pressure from heavy snow or high winds. Everybody say, they're not invincible. I want to preach a parable to you today. Y'all like parables? You know what a parable is? It comes from a Greek word that means to set two things side by side and compare them. Jesus loved to teach parables because he understood that people know about earthly things, but they don't understand heavenly things. So he would begin to talk to them. He'd be compare something on earth, and he would tell them, this is how it's going to be like in heaven. Can I preach a little while? I've been holding this in for 5 weeks now. 4 weeks, whatever it is. Amen. I got a burden in my spirit. Amen. And I want to preach to you. Amen. The same thing that makes giant redwood trees fall is the same issues that will make you fall if you're not careful. Hallelujah. People that look like spiritual giants to me from what I see. Amen. If they begin to get foundation problems, you can take it to the bank. They're about to fall over. Come on, I want to help somebody. Amen. That things have been rooting around you, trying to mess up what you were built upon. Amen. They can survive lightning strikes. Lightning strike don't bother a big redwood. Lightning strikes are powerful. They cause damage. They cause hurt. Amen. But they can't take out a redwood tree. Look at where you're at today. Hallelujah. Amen. People that's gone through sudden, immediate, hurtful things. Let me tell you, that can't take a giant out. Hallelujah. Fires can't take out giant redwoods. And I want to tell you, the trial can't take you out. Storms can't take out great redwoods, and they won't take you out either. Come on, I'm going to preach to you what'll take you out and what won't take you out. Giant redwoods can survive under the heavy weight of snow that falls. Some people think the burden gets so heavy they're going to fall. No, that ain't what makes you fall. Come on, we're going to get down to where we're living today. It ain't the burdens of life that make people fall. One, two, three. I'm just going to keep on preaching. Giant redwoods have a natural immunity against insects, against fungus, against disease. Let me tell you, little problems don't take people out. Storms don't take people out. Trials don't take people out. Offenses don't take people out. I even heard last week the Moses took somebody out. Moses don't take people out. Let me tell you what takes people out. Foundation issues. Come on, can I preach a little while? Don't blame the storm for backsliding. Don't blame the fire for backsliding. When the foundation is right, you can stand through anything. When you're Come on, we're about to get rid of some excuses. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what I love for everybody in this building to do? Get their foundation right. There's too many people worried about a storm. You need to quit looking at the storm and look at the foundation of your life. What you're built upon. What you're holding on to. Boy, I feel the preach coming on. Hallelujah. There is nothing in this world. The Bible said nothing can pluck you out of his hand. But you better get your foundation right. Two people go through the same trial. One of them makes it, one of them don't. You know what the difference is? One of them was grounded and the other one wasn't. Don't point your finger at life. Everybody goes through life. Don't you point your finger at the fiery furnace.
Everybody gets their tour through the fiery furnace. Don't blame the lions in the den. It ain't the lions. Everybody gets to go through the lion. But some people come out when they got a foundation that is sure. Come on, everybody in this house. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Hey, man, don't look at the world. Don't look at political problems. Don't look at disease and sickness. Look at your foundation and say, God, I want to go deeper. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Backsliding, falling is not the result of a storm or a trial. But backsliding is a symptom of someone who doesn't have a foundation. The mistake that redwood trees make is that they don't have a tap root that goes down, but they have shallow roots that go and join up with another redwood. What a cute little story. Let me tell you, when a trial comes, if you think your buddies are going to help you, when you're relying upon somebody else's roots to hold you up, you're heading for a fall, my friend. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I truly believe that there's people that they don't dig down because they got this false thought process that I'm hooked on to somebody else. Hey, it may get quiet, but I'm going to preach what God laid upon my heart. Hey, man, that you can't walk around in this world with shallow roots thinking because I'm connected to this one or that one, when the storm comes, they're all going to help me out. I believe in helping. I believe in praying for one another. But there ain't nobody that can hold you up in a storm if you don't have a foundation. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, help me pray. Sarabasa. 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 Hallelujah. Adabahata. Ta-da-ba. Hallelujah. There are things that are foundational that you got to get in your life. And if you don't get them, it's just a matter of time. Jesus described his parable. There was one man that built upon the rock and another man that built upon the sand. They didn't build out of separate materials. It's what they were built upon. Just because you're on the rock don't mean the storm ain't gonna come. Storms come to people that are built on a rock. Hey, man, but I got a promise for you. I said I got a promise for you. I got a promise out of the Word of God for you. If you build on the rock, when the storm is gone, you'll still be standing. Oh, lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. I love living for God. I can tell you I had trials living for God. I can tell you I made it through every one of them.
Hallelujah. People don't even realize. There's people sitting on these pews today that you're a spiritual giant. Man, you may never preach a message, sing a song. You may never win a soul, I don't know. But just the fact of what you come through, the things that you made it through, the lightning strikes that you overcame, the storms that pushed against you, and you're still standing today. I want to tell you, there's other people around you that are looking at you, and they're realizing, you know what? God is real. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. There's people that's been through storms. I can't imagine how on earth you made it through it. But I'm looking at your face today, and you're here, Sister Tana. Brother Philip, you're here. You got your hands raised. You're crying out to God. You're a testimony. I said you're a testimony that there is a God in heaven that takes care of his regular customer. Shut up. Hallelujah. My Lord, some people say, what can I do for God? I'll tell you what you can do for God. Keep on standing. Keep on. Don't back up one inch. Get you another prayer meeting. Get under the pew one more time. I know you're going through hell in your life. I know you're going through the fire. I know you're going through the trial. But you can do something for God. You can do something for the kingdom. Just keep on standing. There ain't a devil in hell gonna knock me over. Come on. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. You got a foundation. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. People get so consumed about the storms around them. And I feel God saying, quit worrying about the storm. Make sure you got the foundation. This is how giants fall. When the foundation becomes unimportant. Can I preach to this church? I don't care if we ever get all the extracurricular, I would call it, extra stuff that churches do. Amen. None of that matters a hill of beans. Amen. The foundation is what matters. Who cares if you end up rich or you end up poor? If the foundation is there, can I help somebody? This is what the Bible said. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Hey man, you don't have to give me a deep, weird, strange revelation message to impress me. Preach to me what the apostles preached. Tell me what the prophets taught. Tell me. I read in this guy and he was telling me about all the numbers. And he said all numbers mean something. And he went through all that and I thought, I don't remember one time a prophet or an apostle or Jesus standing up saying, let me explain to you the mysteries of the number 4. How it connects to the multiplication of the Da Vinci. You can have all your, I call it mysticism. What it is, it's devil worship.
I'm built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. I want to hear Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Come on. Come on, let's love him. Hallelujah.
Everybody say Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Everybody say chief cornerstone. You know what my problem is with the Trinity, besides the fact that it's post-biblical man-made, is that they got too many chiefs. Hey, I never got a master's degree in language. But I don't think you can have more than one chief cornerstone. My Bible said Jesus. I'm talking about foundational stuff. If you think this is just some alternative way to make it to heaven, some alternative doctrine where this is our flavor, we're oneness and they're threeness or a hundredness or whatever, because they don't just stop at three, because then they got LeBron and Kobe. See, once you go past one, there's no place to stop. It's kind of like when your sleeve go past your elbow. There ain't nowhere to stop then. There's not another line, my friend. Just go ahead and stop it. Well, let me preach a little while. This church was built upon the foundation of... Hallelujah, hallelujah. Upon the revelation of who Jesus is. Praise God. I've had people call me, and they watch our service, and they said, man, I love your church, or y'all's church. Don't get offended. Whatever. And they say, man, I'm going to be there Sunday. And obviously, they go back and listen to a message. And they figure out I don't believe in three or four or two or seven. Or... Praise God. I'm talking about foundation. And I try to text them back. Where'd you go, friend? Hey, man. Where? Casper the Ghost. Hey, if we're going to build, we got to build on the right foundation. I don't want to pastor a Trinitarian church and all of us go to hell together. I'd rather us just go ahead and build on what's right. Go to heaven together. Hey, man, praise God. Give me about 10 more minutes and I'll give them back to you tonight. Praise God. The New Testament church is built upon the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Hell, if you don't believe that, see me after church. If you struggle with that, talk to me after church. You got to get your mind right. Why is it important? It's not just a candy stick. I get tired of people saying dumb stuff like that. It's not a candy stick. Jesus said, if you don't believe I am He, you're going to die in your sins. It ain't candy. It's doctrine. It's heaven and hell. You got to get it right in your mind. Help me, Jesus. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about the baby that was born. Shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace.
This is what we are built upon. To wit, that God, the Spirit, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You know what that means? God said, I'm going to build me a man. And I'm going to dive in. And through that, I'm going to pull all my people back to me. He ain't the vice president. He ain't the number two. He is God manifest in the flesh. This is the foundation. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry. The Bible said we are built upon the prophets and the apostles. Everybody say prophets. Everybody say apostles. I'm going to rock your world right now. That means we're built upon the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, that's what I'm built upon. When you come into the church, we're built upon it all. Come on. Come on. It's a carnal, rebellious spirit that says, well, I'm New Testament. I experienced the New Testament. I got the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said we, the church, is built upon the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when people are just New Testament and you walk into their church, there's always something missing. You know what's missing? The Old Testament. I know there's parts of the ceremonial law that were done away with by the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm not ignorant. I know I've studied a whole lot of stuff. I believe that. But you know what? The Bible documents that. It don't leave you to just, it documents in the New Testament the parts of the ceremonial law that were taken out or done away with, by fulfilled, you could say, through Jesus Christ. But if you think the morals of God changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're mixed up. Can I keep on preaching a little while? If you think God forgot what a woman was from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you ain't part of the church, my friend. We are built upon the prophets and the apostles. Itaramasa. Itaramasa. Hallelujah. We're built upon what they taught. It's the Old Testament prophets that taught us how to love people, how to treat people right, how to do what's fair. When you mess up, how to recompense that. And then came them beautiful apostolic. That's where we get the word apostolic. It's from apostles. We're built upon what they taught. Never one time did they say, repeat after me. You may build a 40,000 member country club in Houston like that, but you ain't gonna build a church like that. The chief cornerstone said, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. We are built upon that. Hallelujah. That's why I'm the apostle. He's looking at the chief cornerstone. You know what a chief cornerstone is? It's the first corner you set up when you're building a building.
This is how they used to do in the old days. They set it up and measured it, leveled and plumbed it and all this stuff. And this is where it goes. From this point, we're going to make a straight line that way. Straight line that way. But everything's going to be 90 degrees off of this. That's why the man with the keys to the kingdom, hey man, I don't know when he heard it, what he heard, but he had to be looking at that cornerstone. Jesus couldn't say, you got to be born again. And then the prophets say, just repeat after me and accept Christ as your personal Savior. That's why he said, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The born-again experience is foundational to the church. And when the church quits preaching it, that's why every time I get in this pulpit, if I think about it, I'm going to preach it again. Now, I'm not talking about apostolic ain't a branch. Apostolic is the foundation. Don't ask me what group the apostolics came out of. We didn't come out of a branch. We're underneath that. Hey, this is what they taught though. Y'all believe this? Y'all believe this is who we are? You know how giants fall? Is when preachers can't preach the gospel anymore. Hang on. Let's get this foundation right. This is what they taught. Come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This ain't a branch. We're built upon what they taught. That means if you come out of the honky-tonks to get the Holy Ghost, you got to stay out of the honky-tonk. If you came out of a drug house and got the Holy Ghost, don't go back to the drug house. If you came out of perversion and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, don't go back. This is foundational. They taught. What we built upon. Everybody say the apostles and the prophets. The apostles taught, follow peace with all men. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't be a short fuse. Be a defuser. This is found. If you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be a defuser. Boy, I felt something right there. Your house should feel like a peaceful place. Your children shouldn't sit there scared to death like, what's daddy going to do? Is he going to kick me in the head? What's mama going to do? Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Can y'all say that word? Holiness. Without which you're going to fall over. Show me the fall over picture again now. Hallelujah. It scares me. Hello. You know what's so sad? Is that people, they get everything else right, but they let their flesh beat them about this holiness. That's just a man trying to get y'all to do stuff. Let me tell you, it ain't a man. If you got a problem with anything I preach, me and you need to go to lunch And I'll carry this with me. And I'll show you it ain't a man's standards. It's God's standards. It's God that said it. It's God that said if a woman wears that which pertaineth to a man, it's an abomination. And if a man rides his bicycle with his dress on, he's the same abomination. Hello. Can I preach a little while? Hey, give me five more. I'm sorry. I can't stop now. Hallelujah. This is what we are built upon. This is what we are built upon. Hallelujah. My Bible said if your thigh is showing, you're naked. You think nakedness is holiness? Let me move on. This is what we were built upon. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then it goes on, for if we sin willfully, he's saying if you don't assemble, you're a sinner. You say, well, how much do you assemble? Let me tell you how much they did it in the Bible. Every day. Hey, I'm standing between you and 7-day church right now. I'm praying, God, let Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, and praying every day be good enough. Because my Bible said they went daily to the temple. At the hour, what did they do at the hour of prayer? They prayed. And somebody broke out one of them scrolls and started reading. And who knows, they might have started singing. They might have started dancing. But they assembled together. Y'all may feel sorry for yourself because some people only have one service on Sunday. In the Bible, they had church every day. It was an hour. It was a designated congregating, assembling. Don't ever let somebody tell you you go to church too much. They went every day. Matter of fact, while I'm on that, I heard somebody say, well, tithing is not in the New Testament a commandment. Well, that's fine with me. Let's do it like they did. They sold everything they had and brought it to the church. Hey, I'm standing between you and 10% right now. 10%'s a good deal if you look at how they did it. If you don't like the Old Testament, by all means, do it like they did. I'll pay off that church in no time. Hallelujah. But anyway, hallelujah, praise God. I'm almost through. Praise God. This is what we're built upon. He said, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Have you ever had somebody tell you, y'all pray too much? I'll tell you, we don't pray enough. Hey, when people call me, I stop praying because I can't talk to two people at one time. I'm like almost disobedient. And we pray an hour before church on Sunday night, 45 minutes Sunday morning, hour Monday night, and whatever you squeeze out on Tuesday, and 45 minutes on Wednesday. But what we were built upon, the apostolic church, they said, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When these teachings become old, ancient relics to us, and they become unimportant, And all we care about is what people see. The beautiful branches. Look how tall I am. I'm taller than everybody in this room right now. Like 7'9" right now. And we get off of the foundation stuff. But we're all joined together in our shallow little walks with God. You can always see shallowness because it always looks for shallowness. Perversion always finds perversion. Rebellion always finds rebellion. Shallow always finds shallow. While everybody else is going into the deep. Tell you how giants fall. They quit worrying about the foundation. They start focusing on everything else in life. I got a scary little scripture. It's the last page. The Bible said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, I watch big old beautiful, powerful, spiritual, giant churches that were on fire for God, and all of a sudden everything began to shift. In prayer, they was too embarrassed of a Holy Ghost prayer meeting, afraid some visitor will talk about them or make fun, whatever. I think it's just laziness is what it is. And God hates laziness. But somehow they shifted from the fountain. They don't want to preach the oneness, kind of like, you know, it's more like kumbaya. We all love the Son of God, and they don't want to distinguish what it is. And the church falls, yet there's still righteous people there, but there's no foundation anymore. What are they supposed to do? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. A lot of churches may not be smart enough to figure it out, but Yosemite was smart enough to figure it out. They built a fence around it. Because they said that 2-million-pound tree, they said the footsteps of a human being can make enough dirt begin to move. That'll loosen up the soil. It'll eventually loosen up the foundation to where that big old tree will fall. So what they say is, you're welcome to look, but you're not stepping on the foundation. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you get on them phone calls, what do you think about the church doing that? You know what you're doing? You're allowing somebody to walk on your foundation. This is how giants fall. They quit worrying about it. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm tired of watching people fall. They look back and they blame, well, I lost my job and it just drove me over there. No, it didn't. A lot of people lost their jobs, but the ones that were grounded, well, God didn't open the doors I wanted him to open. I just got so discouraged. I felt, no, you didn't. That was a symptom. The problem was you didn't have a foundation. You know what I'm saying? Tonight, don't worry about if every hair is in place. When it's time to head to church to get you an hour of prayer, just say it is what it is. If you got two different color shoes, two different color socks, say, well, you're being funny. No, I'm not being funny. My Bible said if your hand offend you, cut it off. You'd be better off one-handed flying through the air
then you would be standing here in hell with both your hands. Stand together with me. I've never been so burdened in my life. Seems so simple. All we got to do is keep this thing right. Please forgive me for preaching so long. I've never been so burdened in my life. I want to talk to some people who are mature in their age. Don't you let the last mile of your life trick you. You can use age for an excuse as well. I'm just going to sit at home. You don't understand. I don't feel like it. You know what? I realize there's people that can't get up, and I let the chips fall with them. And I'm telling you, we can use excuses for why we don't assemble together. And I want to tell you something. My Bible said it's willfully sinning. When you say, I'm not going to go, I'm just going to sit here in this lazy boy. I feel the fear of God in this place. I'm not going to pet spirits. But I'm not going to babysit people either. I'm not going to call and harass people. If they don't come to church, I'm going to preach the gospel. I don't believe God called me to harass people. Pet things that shouldn't be petted. When the man was in hell, he said, will you send somebody from here to go tell my brothers? And God said, no. They got the preacher. He's going to preach it to them. And they're going to make up their own mind. I've watched young people get so distracted raising children. It's just so hard and troublesome to get them all dressed. Let me tell you, if you ever got a vision of them going into eternity lost, because they never understood how to be consistent to the house of God, because you weren't. You'll have eternity to kick yourself. Well, they, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. There's 1,000 reasons. But is any of it more important than the foundation? I'm telling you, the storm's coming, my friend. There's trouble coming up on our earth. Amen. The Bible said the fire is going to try every man. It's going to declare your work, what you've been doing. It's going to be a declaration. If you think you're hiding from the pastor, hiding from the wife, hiding from the husband, whatever, you ain't hiding from nobody. It's going to be shouted from the rooftop. I'm telling you, the fire's coming, my friend. Amen. And the foundation is not right. They'll say, yeah, he was a giant. Boy, that guy used to pray. That guy was so faithful. That guy looked like he had it all together. It ain't about what people are seeing, my friend. You can put on a facade and do all the things, act like you got it all together, act like you're rich, act like blah, blah. Walk around with your LV purses, custom suits, and driving Jaguars. I don't care. God knows what's really going on. I'd rather have my foundation sure. I'm going to tell you, trouble's coming. I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but if the rapture happens before the tribulation, if it happens in the middle, if it happens at the end, it don't matter when it happens. There's going to be trouble from now until then. You can count. If the days were extended, the Bible said the righteous would even. If there ever was a day, we need to get committed to a prayer life. Committed to holiness. Committed to the house of God. And some people don't even know we have Monday night prayer meeting.
It's pretty cool. You ought to come check it out. Some people don't even know we have Sunday morning service. No, they do. But it's just, they think it's a branch. It ain't a branch. It's the foundation. Work on me, God. Lift your hands to the Lord. In the name that is above every name. Come on, just stay right where you're at. We're just going to pray a couple minutes. Come on, prayer meeting tonight. It's going to be altar call. I want you to pray right now. I want you to make commitments in your mind. God, I don't want to fall. See how easy I could get distracted. How easy I could get off track and off base. Get my focus wrong. Hallelujah. Come on, join up with somebody for 1 minute if it's appropriate. Come on, we're not going to pray a long time right now, but we're going to make commitments in our mind. Hallelujah. I need you, Jesus. I need you to help me, God. Arabasoraba. Sarabasa. Sarabasa. Sorabababahasa. God, make men out of us. Make strong ladies out of them. Prayer warriors, mothers in Zion, priests of the home. Oh, God, I want your perfect will. Hallelujah. God, get this fog out of my mind. Let me be able to think clearly. Oh, let me get this bitterness out of my spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, if you want to pray, you're welcome to come pray. Amen. Otherwise, 5:30 tonight, prayer. Amen. If you're through, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. If you want to pray, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I won't be ashamed. With the world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord.